Welcome to Your Course Church.
.ca.
Hello, Eucharist podcast pals. It's Kevin here. Just want to let you know that the audio for this podcast, as with some of the other ones, is just not perfect. It's a little echoey this week. We're having some issues with the recording devices, but we are aware of it and working on it. And it's still completely listenable this week, and it's a great sermon, so I recommend you give it a listen. But if you're somebody who demands butter smooth audio quality from your podcasts, check in a couple weeks and we should have it all sorted out. Peace of Christ.
Starting at verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "Go. Go, leave this place, that is Mount Sinai, leave it, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, and go to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey." This is interesting, isn't it? The Israelites have just done exactly what God would wish for them not to do. And what does God say? He says, yeah, you know, about that, why don't you go finally to the promised land that you've been waiting for all along? It's almost like he's rewarding them. Strange, eh? But let's read to the end of verse 3. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up among you. If I did, I would consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. God is saying here, go, finally go to the promised land. I'll let you go there finally. I'm even going to send you an angel so that you have someone to go with you. And that angel will help you defeat all the nations that you're going to need to defeat. You'll win out against the Canaanites and all the other nations. Go there and you'll finally get me. He says no, and we'll talk about that. But can you imagine for a second with me if Moses were to have said yes? If Moses were to say, yeah, okay, I'll go on our way. I'll get to the River Jordan with the people. We'll cross over it. We'll end up settled on fertile ground for the first time in generations and generations and generations. We'll have land that we can farm on so that we have food security, and we'll have children, and we'll settle, and we'll have households. We'll have everything we need, all that milk and honey that we've been hearing about all this time. We'll have everything, just not God. Just not really a robust spirituality, just no one to worship. Just literally everything else. And when I imagine what it would have been like for Moses in this pivotal moment in the book of Exodus to have said yes to milk and honey without the presence of God, I actually can't help but feel that that imaginary situation is actually quite familiar. I mean, this Western world that we live in can be thought of as a land flowing with milk and honey. We are the wealthiest society to have ever lived in the history of humanity. Not all of us, but many of us here in Canada, we have warm beds. We have clean water. We have abundance. We have grocery stores. And not only that, we have convenience stores that we can go to. So if we have a hankering for something at midnight, we can get that. We can get anything we want. We have more freedom now to be who we are than ever before, without judgment from the people around us. That's such a good thing. We have more social consciousness than ever before. And more, we're seeing ways to create a more just and merciful society. We have so much. We have a whole world at our fingertips so much of the time, don't we? And yet, what are we missing? What are we missing? Because, you know, I don't know if you've read, there's this research that's come out in the last month or two that I've been meditating on from the Center for Disease Control. I can't get it out of my mind. They've been doing research on mental health among teens in the last decade. Maybe some of you have stumbled across this. And it's rattling. I almost don't want to say it out loud because it's just so dark. But did you know that 1 in 3 teen girls tries to commit suicide these days? That's up 60% from the decade prior. And about like 70% are diagnosed with a mental health issue at some point in their teen years. It's just astonishing. And that's just one population. All over all populations, mental health is decreasing dramatically. Like, it's like plummeting as the years go on. In this society, we have more than anyone has ever had before. What are we missing? I'm actually just so rattled and concerned about this. I mean, what kind of society are we creating where we have everything and yet somehow in our minds, in our souls, in our psyches, we seem to have nothing? I just am rattled. Why is our milk and honey not bringing us joy? I wonder, as I meditate on this passage, if Moses maybe took a moment when God offered him that option, that pivot, have everything, just not me. I wonder if he took a second to think about it, to consider it, to imagine a world like that. I bet he gave it some careful thought, and ultimately, Moses, as we're going to read in a moment, intercedes for the people, saying, no. We need your presence, God. And I imagine that maybe young Moses wouldn't have done that. If you have read the beginning of Exodus, Moses is a bit of a crazy fellow, and he kills a man and does all sorts of strange stuff and then wanders into the wilderness. I wonder if young Moses wouldn't have, but old Moses knows. Old Moses knows the God that reached out to him in the burning bush. Moses knows God, the God who's visiting with him at the tent of meeting day after day. He knows the God that fed him manna from his hand. And so he does this. Let's continue in this passage, going down to verse 12.
And to be a human is not to be full
promised land. Maybe you've had times in your life where you haven't had milk and honey, so to speak. Maybe you've had times where you live without a warm bed and clean water. Maybe you've had times where you've lost your health or your wealth or your wellness. Maybe you've had times where the sweet and sheltered promised land bubble was pierced for a moment. Maybe you've experienced the disorientation and discomfort of wilderness. And there's something that many report happens when they leave the promised land, or they don't get to go there, and they end up in the wilderness. There tends to be out there suffering and grief and sometimes loneliness and loss. But if you've been out there, maybe you have had experiences like Moses, where a strange, unearthly voice calls to you to come up onto a mountain cleft, to witness something that is truly bigger than yourself, not a cheap comfort or a trivial self-care regimen for wilderness days. Maybe you've been invited into a peace that passes understanding, a joy that doesn't make sense given the circumstances. Many have witnessed to and given testimony to realities like that out in the wilderness, mystics and saints and biblical writers. There's one mystic, she must have been a mystic, that I've been reading about this week. Her name is Helicium. And she was a Jewish person in 1942 in Germany. She ended up in Auschwitz with her whole family, and she actually had the opportunity to leave Auschwitz and to go into hiding until the war was over. But it's so interesting. I don't understand it. I truly don't. But she said no. She said, no, I'd rather stay here in Auschwitz, where my family is, my religious community is, than leave. And she stays. And eventually she ends up getting murdered by the Nazis, like so many. And like I said, I don't get it. But she has this journal entry from one of her final days, where she says, "The misery out here is quite terrible. And yet, late at night, when the day has slunk away into the depths behind me, I often walk with a spring in my step along the barbed wire, and then time and again it soars straight from my heart. I can't help it, it's just the way it is, like some elementary force. The feeling that life is glorious and magnificent, and that one day we all shall be building a new world." There is an essential presence out there, a one necessary thing, the beauty of the Lord, sweeter than milk and honey. Jesus Christ, thousands of years later, knew this too. And he was so convinced of there being only one necessary thing that he actually left behind all comfort and let himself be let out of Jerusalem, which was the epicenter of that promised land, and to go out into the wilderness of Golgotha to be crucified. And on that day, the veil between ordinary life and the Holy of Holies was torn in two, essential presence flooded into every nook and cranny of our life, of our city, of our unwell society, and of the whole world. And now every single day of our life can be lived in the presence of the God who showed his back to Moses. And we get to enjoy that beauty of the Lord, and we get to enjoy seeking him in his temple. And I want to invite you, if that seems compelling or interesting, or maybe for you essential, to ask God like Moses did. Maybe somewhere in your house, maybe on your commute, maybe when you go to bed tonight, I don't know. To ask him like Moses did, show me your glory. And to see if he doesn't still respond today, I will give you my presence.